Thank you. I'm a University of Minnesota PhD student, but the work I'm going to be talking about was the work that I did while I was a master's student at Brigham Young University, and want to acknowledge my committee for their mentorship and guidance on the project. And I have no relationships to disclose. I think the case has already been made why distracted driving is dangerous. And one of the responses to increased distracted driving has been policies to prohibit or reduce cell phone use while driving. And these policies differ state to state. And so in Utah, there hadn't been kind of a state-specific analysis done of how residents view these policies and what potential impact they're having. And so the Utah Department of Health conducted a survey asking kind of a variety of questions related to driver's education and policies related to cell phones. And a portion of that survey provided the data for this analysis. It was weighted by gender, age, and residence. About 75% of Utah residents lived on the Wasatch Front near Salt Lake City, and so rural residents were oversampled and then diluted to make sure that there was a large enough sample to represent their ideas. So our research specifically kind of aimed to do three things. The first was just to kind of describe the demographic factors associated with distracted driving. And the second was to understand how risk perceptions were associated with distracted driving. There are kind of an idea in the literature that that the traditional idea of risk perceptions being very influential in distracted driving is maybe overestimating that impact, that people essentially know texting or talking while driving is dangerous, but choose to do it anyway. And so we wanted to try to tease out that relationship. And finally, since we were working with the Department of Health data, we wanted to give them some direction for their interventions in terms of population subgroups that could be engaged to reduce the behavior. The analysis consisted of kind of two components. One was just descriptive statistics and proportions. The other was multivariable logistic regression models that produced odds ratios and confidence intervals. For the data people out there, we used the change in estimate strategy to add potential confounders, and then compared our adjusted models to the fully adjusted model to make sure we were accounting for all of the confounding in the relationship. So this was our sample. As you can see, rural residents made up a little over half of the sample, but when weighted, accounted for 25%, reflecting their proportional representation, and the rest of the samples outlined there. So our main model was looking at how demographic factors and then some ideas about risk perception and legality influence the behavior, but we realized that that risk and legality and your potential deterrence to a ticket could also be could also vary by demographic factors. So essentially, we took some of our predictors in our main model and made them outcomes and tried to evaluate how they differed according to demographic factors. So this is the results of our first model. All of the variables on the right are significant predictors of talking while driving behavior. And then the secondary model showed that there were some significant demographic factors for ticket deterrence and support of a cell phone ban and perception of legality. Now, kind of paraphrasing the results quickly, a lot of these things are results that we anticipated finding. People who talk are younger, took the survey by cell phone, had higher incomes, and had children under 18 at home. But when we looked closer at some of the relationships, there were some interesting findings that I'd like to point out. First is our breakdown by age. What we anticipated finding was that younger individuals talked on their phones more frequently. And while that was true overall, The group most likely to talk while driving was the 25 to 34 age group. And at the end of the presentation, I'm going to talk about why that might be. And then the other thing that we were interested in evaluating was risk perception. So about 10% of Utahns indicated that talking on the phone doesn't increase your risk of an accident, and that made them roughly about five times as likely to talk on their phone compared to people who accurately identified the increased risk. Texting while driving was a little bit... The models proved to be a lot simpler. The only two significant predictors were age and risk perception, and the secondary models yielded no significant results. So young people are more likely to text while driving, and those who don't believe that texting increased their risk for an accident. The age results were sort of what we anticipated finding in our talking results, a stronger relationship between age at every category, with young people being most likely to text while driving. And risk perception also a significantly higher likelihood of texting while driving. Now, when we looked at the relationship between age and talking, a couple of interesting things came to light. The first is that... There's a significant amount of literature that points to kind of this communication preference in younger individuals. So perhaps part of the explanation is that people in the young age group don't talk while driving because they would just prefer to communicate by text. And I think that's certainly could explain part of the variation. The 25 to 34 age group is one I'm fairly familiar with because I turned 31 next week, not to date myself, but I fall into this age category. And something that I noticed is that the overwhelming majority of interventions for distracted driving occur through three programs: the driver's education program for new drivers, the Don't Drive Stupid campaign, which targets high school students, and the Zero Fatalities program that's run through school districts. So all of these interventions are targeting young drivers 15 to 18 years old. Now, of course, you might be thinking, well, if you target them young, everyone will cycle through the intervention. The trouble is that when I was 15 to 18, nobody was talking about talking on a cell phone while driving, because none of us had cell phones, obviously. And so in other public health practices, we've noticed an intervention lag, if you will, where by the time sort of research and interventions get underway in the proper age group, there's already a group of people who've passed through that age group and who were not targeted when they were younger. Prior to my public health experience, I'd never been a part of an intervention to reduce distracted driving. I'd never heard a talk or information because those weren't available when I was young, and the interventions don't target older individuals. So a couple of other things that were interesting in our findings. There was overwhelming support for a universal ban on talking while driving. It's worth noting that this survey was conducted in January of 2012. In summer of this year, a under 18 talking ban was passed, in part because of the results of the survey, which I think is a fantastic first step. But broad support for an all-driver ban, I think, should encourage the health department to continue to seek that intervention. Interestingly, 61% people who identified it as illegal were 61% less likely to talk while driving, even though it wasn't actually illegal. And this finding was independent of whether they feared being ticketed. So there's something inherent about knowing that a behavior is illegal that discourages people from doing it. And I think this points to the fact that as policies are implemented, they need to be accompanied by an awareness campaign so that people know what behaviors are illegal. A couple of other kind of interesting findings that work together. 67% of Utahns indicated they'd be less likely to talk if they could be ticketed. And what's interesting is in those secondary models, when we looked at demographic descriptors of that particular variable, age was a significant predictor. Now, I know that sort of young folks have the reputation maybe of being rebellious, but actually young individuals were most likely to be deterred by the possibility of a ticket. So policies that ban talking while driving are inherently targeting the very subgroups that are most likely to be talking, which I think is fantastic. Just in the last couple of minutes that I have, our advice to the Utah Department of Health was that targeted interventions are needed, and that only targeting drivers 15 to 18, while certainly a good start, is insufficient. The Utah Department of Health has an approach to interventions where they work with organizations that's proven to be very effective. But there are universities and employers of young working professionals and university students that could reach individuals 25 to 34 who may have had a cell phone for a long time and be likely to use it while driving, and who may have missed those interventions targeting young individuals. Risk perception still proved to be a strong predictor of behavior in our models. And while the numbers of people who identify the behavior as not risky are shrinking, we feel like it's still a valid component of an intervention, although, as I'm going to talk about next, maybe not alone sufficiently thorough for an intervention. And so coupling educational programs that try to clarify risk perception with policies that make it illegal to talk on the phone, and with sort of public awareness campaigns that help individuals understand what behaviors are illegal and why. Now, just in the last minute or so, I think that this is an area of need for future research. As I mentioned, because policies vary state by state, and because attitudes and demographic components vary from states, I really believe that this research is important to be done both on a national level, but also on a state by state level. And Utah was not the only state that was lacking in information related to this. So as additional states, hopefully we'll try to do some state-specific research. Finally, our study was was limited by the sample size in a number of areas. You likely noticed that we had really wide confidence intervals, because some of the behaviors and attitudes we were looking at are relatively uncommon, that the analysis proved to be underpowered. But I do think that it provided some valuable insights, and hopefully the less than 18 ban is a good step towards an all-driver ban in Utah. Thank you.